Have you ever made any of the following statements? Number one, for most of my life, I have wanted God to think like me and to follow my plan.
Number two, I have wanted God to bless everything that I have done and accomplished.
Number three, I have wanted God to love those that I love and judge those that I feel should be condemned.
Four, I will forgive, but I will never forget.
I know that I am a sinner, and without Jesus in my life, I know that I would be judged harshly, but sometimes I just don't care.
Is there really a God? Well, if so, why doesn't he answer my prayers?
I'm not sure that Jesus even loves me because of the person that I am.
Will I be in the heavenly hereafter when I die, or is heaven a myth?
You know, these are harsh words, but it isn't unusual to think these thoughts. We all have doubts at times about the relationship that we have with God, and being a Thomas, of course, I'm a doubting one at times, but most of the time, I try to stay in the faith.
Now, Isaiah, he knew that God thought differently than the rest of us. In fact, in chapter 55, verses 8 through 11, he wrote about God, "My thoughts," meaning God, "are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your thoughts and your ways. As the rain and the snow come down from the heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it."
Sometimes the plans that I dream up are plans I believe God wants me to proceed with. Yet those plans absolutely go nowhere. Why? Because those plans are not in God's purpose for my life. Oftentimes, we second guess God. We want God to bless our plans, and when in fact the purpose of our lives may be totally different based upon our gifts and our talents and our abilities. As an example, when we moved back from Alaska, we sold health and life insurance. Well, maybe I should say we tried. You know, different careers need different personalities. And there are some people who can sell anything, even freezers to Eskimos. I had actually more people sell me something that they were trying to sell than what I was trying to sell to them. Now, that just isn't a good approach if you're in sales.
However, we did learn a great deal. And one thing we did learn about ourselves in particular is that's just not us. We're not good salespersons. Our forte is, and always has been, in the area of education and ministry. In fact, throughout our 30 years of marriage, we have felt God's tug in our hearts to shift from education into the ministry. And so we started the ordination process before we went into Alaska, called the TREM program. And we have now since finished it as of last summer.
Many times when you talk with Christians, they feel that God has a specific plan for their lives. An example is a couple who are close friends of ours. They are so frustrated with God. They keep praying to God to find out what they should be doing with their lives. They went to college, they graduated, they became teachers, and they're very fine teachers. But they just feel that their place isn't in the classroom. They want to serve God in another capacity. They want to know the specific plan that God has for their lives. And they feel that God has not answered their prayers. So they remain as teachers and are frustrated with a silent God. But based upon their talents, gifts, and abilities, what if God's plan is for them to continue to be teachers? What if they are missing the joy of teaching as they continue to search for God's plan, which they are already fulfilling? Or maybe the time for their next phase of God's plan for their lives just hasn't started yet. Keep in mind the story of Abraham and Sarah. My dad's a storyteller. He loves to tell stories. And one of the stories that he tells is about a farmer who had a concern about whether he was following God's plan for his life. Now, the farmer was an award-winning agriculturalist. His farm was the picture of perfection, and he always had the highest corn and bean yields. His livestock were pictured in the farmers' journals as the best of the best. And now it is spring. He has his fields ready for planting. However, he has always wanted to be a minister. Now he is torn about what to do. He says to God, "Please, God, give me a sign as to what I should do in my life. Should I be a farmer? Should I be a minister?" He sees this giant hand in the sky, and it puts PC in the sky. The farmer looks it over and he says, "Oh, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to preach Christ." He hands his farm over to his son, and the farmer gets his seminary degree. He receives a call to become a minister at a church, but things just don't go too well. He tries other churches, and it still doesn't go well. He's just frustrated. And finally, he dies. He goes to heaven, and he meets St. Peter. He says to St. Peter, "I did everything that God wanted me to do. I saw the sign, so I preached Christ." And St. Peter looked back at him and said, "You interpreted it wrong. Plant corn."
So what was God's initial plan then for Adam and Eve? Was it to plant corn? No, we know that God's initial plan for Adam and Eve was to have uninterrupted fellowship together with him. However, when they did both sin, God did cast them out of Eden, and that fellowship was lost. Then God put a place, a plan of redemption in place, in work for their lives, as well as for the rest of humanity. Jesus came to save us and to reestablish that uninterrupted fellowship, you see. Our individual plan is part of God's overall plan. Our purpose for living is to help bring about what God's plan is to fruition. Each day, we get closer to the day when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Humankind will again have complete and uninterrupted fellowship with his or her creator.
How does God develop His plan for our lives. It begins with developing a purpose. Our purpose comes from the intertwining of the different talents, gifts, and abilities that God has given us. God works in different ways through each of us. God directs us as we serve Him faithfully, and we use our gifts to glorify Him. We should wisely invest the gifts that God has blessed us with. We should use our gifts and abilities to honor God and to bless, encourage, and strengthen others in love. For without love, all gifts are nothing. We should not neglect our gifts, but instead develop them, stir them up, fan them into flames, so that they get even better for the edification of the church and for the glory of God.
Apostle Paul, when he states in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, he states, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but there is the same God who empowers them all into everyone."
As we grow and mature, our gifts are made known to us through God's Holy Spirit, through our own experimentation, through our experiences, through individuals telling us that they see gifts and talents within us. We start to see and develop our purpose in life. And our purpose develops in God's plans for our lives. As we continue to communicate with God, we start seeing where God is leading us.
In fact, Psalms 23, that beloved psalm, in verse 3, it states, "He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." We have one path to God through Jesus, but we also have, in addition, different paths in which we use our various gifts, our various talents, and our various abilities. For example, we do have a spiritual path. We have a family path. We have a friendship path. We have a career path. And we have interest paths, as with hobbies. All of these combine to make us who we are. It gives us our purpose in life. If one of these paths is off kilter, it can have a direct effect on how we look at ourselves, others, as well as God.
The reason why we don't always understand our purpose or where we are in God's plan is because we are thinking differently from God. He sees our entire journey from our birth to the time that we go with Him in heaven. But we only see the here and now. We have blinders on. This is because God thinks outside of the realm of time and sees everything from an eternal point of view. We see things in the present, and we interpret things from the point of view of being in the present. Our journey can be exciting and well worth it, but it takes time to develop. You know, it's a waste of time by going to the Fort Wayne International Airport and you're waiting for your Boeing 747, which will never arrive, when there is a camel in that short-term parking lot provided by God with our name on it to take us through the wilderness. Our human thinking wants to get to the journey's end quickly. That's the way we are. We want to go as quickly as we can. And that's why our kids say, "Are we there yet?" Whereas God once has developed character along the way. One of my favorite Bible stories on developing character and creating a plan for an entire nation is the story of Moses leading the Israelites to the promised land. I was reading on the internet the other day, and of course the internet is 100% accurate, that the Israelites had, if they had traveled north from the Red Sea and they had followed the Mediterranean coast, their trip would have only lasted 11 days instead of 40 years. There is a difference. Do we have the map? It's coming. This is not the map of the Sinai Peninsula. There we go. Take a look at this journey. Up in the left-hand corner, we have going through the Reed Sea, or they call it the Red Sea, some people do. Notice their journey. They're going south. Notice what they could have done. They could have gone north along the Mediterranean coast to the land of the Philistines or the Promised Land. They go down, and then look at what they do. They go around, and then they finally get up to the Promised Land. Why in the world did God do that? And I don't want to be tramping around in a desert for 40 years. Well, when the 12 spies explored the Promised Land, only Caleb and Joshua were confident enough to say that they could take the land away from the Philistines.
However, the other 10 spies said, "No way." Now the Israelites, they followed these naysayers, and God said that since the Israelites were unwilling to take the land that God had promised, that current generation would never set foot in the promised land. So they just kept going around in circles until only Caleb and Joshua were left from the previous generation. Since the generation would not follow God's plan, he took the promised land away from them and gave it to the next generation with Joshua as their leader.
Having a purpose and a plan just isn't enough for our lives. God helps us to develop our character through loving others and developing relationships. You know, I've found in my life that there are issues in my relationship with others that keep coming back. It's like a penny, just keeps returning. It is usually not with the same people, however, yeah, in some cases it is. Until I learn how to overcome certain relationship issues, I am destined to confront those same types of issues time and time and time again. It's just like the Israelites in the wilderness. It's just a never-ending circle until I can face the issue and overcome it. If our journey is stalled by an issue in our life, then we must abandon ourselves to God and trust His thinking by going to the Lord in prayer and asking for assistance in order to build the necessary character to complete the circle and to move forward again. Our part is to learn how to rest in His love and become abandoned to His purpose, accepting that God knows best. Only through this approach will we learn God's plan for our lives. God wants us to spend time with Him and intimately communicate with Him, to enjoy fellowship with Him, to trust and follow Him. In order to give our life meaning and purpose, We want to rush to the end and receive the prize. He wants to build our character that will embrace our journey and help us see that He is the prize.
St. Augustine writes, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Likewise, Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 3, verse 8, "I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things."
When you throw a stone in a lake, the ripples are never straight lines. Did you ever watch the intro to Andy Griffith's show? They take the pebble and bounce it in the lake. Yeah, those circles just keep getting wider and wider. Even in our lives, never cause straight lines either. But we impact things that we hadn't thought of or even known about. So we need to abandon our thinking to Him and to come to the place of understanding that His ways are higher than our ways, and therefore understanding our purpose and plan will become easier. Trust God to bring you into the fullness of Jesus Christ. Trust Him by abandoning yourselves to His purpose and His plan for your life. Start thinking like He thinks. Amen.